Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." If we look back over our lives and consider the things we have been through, we will see along the way, like pearls on a string, or perhaps for our Catholic friends, like beads on the rosary, defining moments of our lives, moments at which we changed, moments at which we experienced things or made choices that changed the course of the rest of our lives. For me, there were a number of defining moments, as I'm sure there were for you. I recall very clearly the day I decided not to go into the ministry when I was in college and had intended to do that for my entire life, as long as I'd had any particular aspirations at that young age. I decided not to go into the ministry. And that changed not only the next decade of my life when I wasn't in ministry, but the rest of my life. I also remember the time when I decided that I would go into the ministry once again. It was after Heidi was born. And that, too, was a defining moment. There are many defining moments. Some of them for us are very positive. They're the birth of a child, a new start in life. Others are more difficult. Others change us in ways that we wish maybe hadn't happened. If we look at the life of a nation, we also see defining moments. Obviously, for this nation, the Revolutionary War was a defining moment. The Civil War was a defining moment. There have been many defining moments. September 11th, 2001 was a defining moment. And we still don't know just how that event and how our reaction to it will define this nation. But we know that we will never be the same after that event took place and after the responses that we made to it. In the life of the Lord, there were also defining moments. When he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came down upon him like a dove, that was a defining moment, showing him what his life was to be. And when he went into the desert afterwards and was tempted by the devil, three temptations winnowing his soul, those were defining moments which determined the course of his life. There are always defining moments. And of course, our story for today, the story so-called of the sacrifice of Isaac, was absolutely a defining moment in Abraham's life. It was a definition for his life of what was going to be the most important for him. His son Isaac had been born in a miraculous way. And by the way, the Bible hedges a little bit when it says his only son Isaac. He did, in fact, have another son. Ishmael had already been born. But as far as the biblical writers were concerned, that was not his true son. His true son was the one born to him by his true wife, Sarah. And so Isaac is treated as his only son. And also in the context of the story, this means his only heir. Isaac was the one through whom his line would continue, through whom the promise that God had made to him that he would become a great nation. Isaac was the one through whom that promise would be carried out. And now, God was telling him, you must give that up. Or at least he thought God was telling him that. He heard God say to him, you must sacrifice your son, your only son, Isaac. And he saddled his donkey and went. That was a defining moment when he decided to follow God, even though it meant such a huge destructive change in his life as he saw it. And so he went along, and I never can get through the story of the conversation between Isaac and his father Abraham. Never can get through that without losing it just a little bit. It's so poignant to see them walking along, and here's Isaac saying, walking along beside his father. We don't know exactly how old he was. Presumably he was perhaps a preteen or maybe a young teenager. And he's talking to his father, and he knows how sacrifices work. He knows that you bring the fire, you bring the knife, you bring the wood, and you bring the animal. for the sacrifice. And he's confused. We have everything but the most important thing, the animal. And so he asks Abraham, his father, the question. We have the fire, we have the knife, we have the wood. Where is the animal for the sacrifice? And Abraham's answer is fascinating. God himself will provide an animal for the sacrifice. And they continue on. And Abraham believed that God had provided the animal for the sacrifice, that the animal for the sacrifice was his son Isaac. That's what Abraham believed when he spoke those words. But that was not the last defining moment, because there was another defining moment. When Abraham took his son, bound him, and was prepared to kill him, prepared to carry out what he believed was God's order to him to slay and sacrifice his son. Then there was another defining moment. Abraham, Abraham, the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and held back his hand, would not allow him to slay his son, but said, because you have not withheld the thing that is the most precious to you from me, your own son, I will bless you incredibly. And twice the angel called out to him and gave him that message. Because you have not withheld your only son, I am going to bless you, and not only you, but all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. And we have seen the fulfillment of that promise in a literal way. There are three great religions on this earth that were blessed through Abraham and through his dedication to the Lord. Judaism, of course, Christianity, and also Islam all take inspiration from Abraham and how he followed the Lord first, even at great personal sacrifice. And that influence has reached out into the other parts of the world as well through the good that those religions have done. Now we have to pause for a moment and look at this issue of God telling Abraham to sacrifice his only son. Some of you may be familiar with the childhood game which we used to call Operator, where you'd get all the kids in a circle and the first one would come up with a phrase and would say that, whisper it in the next person's ear. And that person, whatever he or she heard, would whisper to the next person's ear and it would go all the way around the circle, and by the time it got to the other end, the last person would say it out loud, and sometimes it was quite funny what came out the other end compared to what started. And I think what's going on here in the Bible story is a little game of Operator between God and Abraham. Because God says things to us and we hear them according to what's in our own minds. We interpret not only what others say to us, oftentimes we get into all sorts of troubles with others because they say something to us, we hear something very different from what they mean, and we act on that assumption that what we heard is what they mean. There's a very complicated saying, I'm not sure I can reproduce, that goes something like, I know you think I said that you know what I mean, but I don't think you realize that what I said is not what you meant, or something like this. Well, it gets very complicated even trying to communicate with one another. And we also hear God in the same way. We hear God according to the way that we have been thinking. And it's important to understand that in Abraham's time, human sacrifice was perfectly valid and accepted as the supreme devotion that you would pay to your deity. And clearly, Abraham had that in his mind as well. What did he do when God said to sacrifice his son? What would one of us do? We'd say, that's not God. God would never tell me to do something like that. But that's not what Abraham did. He saddled his donkey, who went fully intending to carry out what he believed was God's order. From a Swedenborgian perspective, God was telling Abraham, you must make the supreme sacrifice. You must totally dedicate your life to me. You must not withhold anything from me. What Abraham heard was, you must practice human sacrifice. You must sacrifice your son. That is what Abraham believed was the ultimate way of showing his devotion to the Lord. And that is why the angel of the Lord accepted that willingness on Abraham's part, not because it would have been a good thing for him to sacrifice his son, but because it showed that Abraham was willing to put God above all else in his life. And I would say this was also a defining moment in that this decisively showed that human sacrifice would not be a part of the Jewish religion. We have a few problems a little later in the Bible, such as the story of Jephthah and his daughter, but in general, human sacrifice was not practiced by the Jewish people as it was by many, if not most, of the surrounding peoples. And so if we look at it from this perspective, that was also a defining moment, even in the literal story, where God turned around the attitude that Abraham and his people had that human sacrifice was acceptable, and said, I appreciate the fact that you are willing to do this, but this is not what I am asking you to do. On the deeper meaning, the sacrifice of Isaac also speaks of making the supreme sacrifice. And for each one of us, that's going to be a little bit different. But for all of us, it's a story about the toughest and deepest choices that we make, sometimes called our times of temptation or of trial. This is about our deepest times of trial, when we feel God calling us to do things that we're just not sure we can do, things that will force us, if we follow them, to leave behind all that we believe is the most important, or that's the way we see it, and lay that down for God. We are tested in more doctrinal terms on what will be our ruling love, what will be the dominant force, the dominant love in our life. And yes, sometimes we are tested on whether we will put our family and loved ones first or whether we will put God first. Sometimes we actually have to make a choice between what our friends and what our family, what our own children want us to do and what we know God is telling us to do. Sometimes we have to struggle between what we believe we should do ourselves with our family, with our friends, and what we know God is telling us to. And it can be very difficult. It can be just as harrowing as what Abraham went through when he was asked, as he believed, to sacrifice his son. Sometimes we do have to sacrifice in our mind family members when we realize that God is calling us to do something very difficult as we go forward. So this testing is not theoretical in our lives. It's very real. It's very concrete. And it sifts our souls. As Abraham was walking along, this was not a theoretical task he was asked to do. This was a task he was being asked to give up what was most important to us. And I know that it tore his heart apart to make that decision. And it tears our hearts apart to make those decisions that God puts in front of us. And yet these are the defining moments, the most important defining moments of our life. These are the moments that determine what person we will be. These are the moments that determine the rest of our lives. The choices we make, the directions we go at that time, will set our course. And it will be very difficult to change that course farther down the line. And even if we do change that course farther down the line, we will never get back the choice that we made before. And so these become defining moments in our lives that determine the course of our lives, and most importantly, the course of our hearts. They determine the person that we will be. The Lord faced these choices in his life. In correspondential terms, Isaac represents the divine rational. It represents the higher vision of life, of spirituality, of his mission that the Lord was beginning to see as he grew up as a young boy. It represented his divine calling. And he had to make a choice between that and what the world said he should do, and even what his own lower heart said he should do. Consider him on the mountain there being tempted by the devil. One of the temptations the devil put before him is, see all these kingdoms, all of these people, this entire world, I will give it to you if you will fall down and worship me. Well, this is exactly what the Lord wanted in one way. He wanted all the people of the world. His greatest love, the reason he came here, was to save the human race. And that doesn't just mean the human race in general. It was to save each one of those people that he saw around him. It was to save each one of us in this church and all the people, both in and out of all the churches today and in all time. This was his love. This was why he came, to save humanity that was destroying itself. And now the devil was saying, I'll give it to you. All you have to do is compromise. All you have to do, just this once, bow down and worship me. And he turned to Scripture. In all of the temptations, he turned to that divine rational, that Isaac, his deeper understanding of what the Scripture was telling him to do to defend against every one of those temptations. And so he followed Isaac. He kept the divine teaching in his life, the spiritual teaching, instead of what humanity or the devil was asking him to do. And we should be clear in understanding that in so doing, he put himself on a collision course with all of the religious leaders of his day. And that defining moment when he was baptized and when he was tempted in the wilderness and when he followed God's way instead of the devil's, it was only a matter of time before he would find himself on the cross. It was only a matter of time before the conflict with the world became so great that humans would act with murderous hatred against him, trying to destroy him. And he knew that when he made that defining choice in his life. And we may know this as well. Know that the choices we are making are going to put us on a collision course with the people around us, perhaps with the people at our job, perhaps with the people in our family, perhaps with our friends. We may know that the choices we're going to make are going to make our lives never be the same again. We'll never be able to have those particular relationships, that particular job, that particular relationship with our family. These choices define our lives and send us in a different direction than we were going before. This is what Abraham faced. This is what the Lord faced. And this is what each one of us faces at these defining moments of our lives. Our defining moments do determine the course of our lives. They also affect very heavily the course of the lives of people around us. They make their own choices, and yet our choices do affect others. They do affect the way others' lives unfold. So we're not just concerned about ourselves. We're also concerned about how we will influence those around us and whether we will be an influence for good, leading them toward heaven, or whether we will be helping them to move downward. Our choices affect those around us. So we do face choices, and sometimes we face choices every bit as tough as the one that Abraham faced on that mountain. Perhaps we don't hear God literally telling us to sacrifice our children, but we do at times hear God telling us to sacrifice what we believe is the most important thing in our life. What will we do at that moment? How will we define our lives? Amen.